You're listening to Change the World, the podcast for Jewish nonprofit leaders. I'm your host, Sivya Cohn. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, I am sitting down, finally, it took a long time to schedule, but I'm sitting down with Dina Goldman, who is the founder of MISPAR. And I'm very excited because we're going to be talking about something that gets me very excited, which is the topic of research. Dina, thank you so much for joining me.
Boris, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do, how you got into it. Give us some background.
Sure. So I actually started in the marketing advertising space. I was working in agencies, you know, doing all the branding work, marketing, advertising, all of that. And it always annoyed me that we were working in the dark. You know, we just didn't have the insights. So it was something I always wanted, but I wasn't sure how to do it properly, how to incorporate it. After a while, it was about 10 years of working in agencies, working with lots of amazing brands. I decided to do it as an experiment. Like, let me just try it. You know, let me see if I can convince people to take a step back before they start marketing and branding and advertising and, you know, going down that whole journey and take, you know, a few weeks and some time to understand the purpose of it all and why they're doing it and how they're planning to do it. So originally it started out with more qualitative research. I would conduct a lot of interviews, go into places, observe certain meetings, observe interactions, customer interactions, things like that. And people loved it. And the more I did it, the more I got sucked into this world. It was like just never enough. You know, it was like, okay, I spoke to 5 people. That's not good enough. I need to speak to 20 people. I need to speak to 30 people. We need to survey, you know, 1,000 people. Like, it was just addictive in some ways. In the beginning, I didn't think people would actually share with me. I was like, how am I going to get somebody to talk to me? How am I going to get them to fill out a survey? You know, it felt like too far. And especially in our community, people don't like to be asked questions. They don't want to just give their time. But I was really committed to it. And I said, I need to try it. I need to see if it's going to work. And the more I did it, the more people were like, can you also find out that? Can you also look into this category or this group of people? And every time I would do research for like B2B, it only brought me more clients, because as soon as I would talk to my customer, they're like, oh, can you also, you know, became a sales call, or like, can you also do this? You know, we have this problem. What can we do about that? So that's kind of how it all formed. And one project led to another. We ended up doing this collaboration with Ami that's been giving us a lot of exposure. And, you know, people are so curious. And that's the reason I wanted to do it with the Ami, is to show people that when you participate and you help others answer questions, it's really interesting. There's a lot that you can learn about yourself, and there's a lot that you can learn about the people around you. So it's created this momentum of, you know, people really giving their time. It's a real chesed, honestly. You know, when you give somebody your time, help a business owner bounce off an idea, answer a survey, tell them how they did, you know, give them honest feedback. And we really need it in our community. It's so many of our businesses have been operating in the dark, non-profits, and we've been able to really help so many people get the answers that they didn't even believe is possible to get. It was like, who's going to tell us? You know, how are we going to know? How am I going to speak to these people? But we're really getting the opportunity every single day to engage with people, have conversations. We have many different projects running at the same time on digital conversations. And it's amazing. It's really amazing to see people coming through. And I'm like humbled every time that we finish a project and like, wow, you know, we actually did get to reach this group of people or these, like, and sometimes it's certain professionals or certain hard to reach populations that you think like, okay, how am I going to get to them? It's a challenge every time, I'm not going to lie, but it's really, really amazing what businesses can get and what nonprofits can get when you take a moment to stop talking and rather listen. Research is, what I started saying before, is really the way I view it, is the act of listening. That's what research is instead of jumping in and making a decision or running and trying to sell something, promote something, fundraise, you're taking a pause to listen. You're curious to find out, is that really true? Is this really valuable? Am I filling a need that others want? Am I connecting with my donors? Am I offering a service to the community that they actually need? It's that moment where you listen rather than speak, in order so that you can speak better, in order so that you can outreach better, so that you can, you know, really make a difference. Because so many times we get very caught up in what we're passionate about, what we think is important, and our lens is very narrow. It's we're seeing just what's right in front of us, maybe a little bit on the sides by the people that are influencing our decisions, but it's very hard to see past it. You know, once you really get into it, you get busy and you're sucked into the day-to-days of your organization. It's hard to see past it. And that's really what research does. It widens your lens. It allows you to see, okay, what are others doing? What is really important? How are people viewing us? Do they know about the service? Are they interested in the service? Do they think that we're a valuable organization and they should donate? Like all of these questions that you might have certain answers, but you're not really sure. You don't know for certain that that's true. And that's the purpose of research, is to widen your view. So you're getting a lot of other voices participating in the question. You're seeing a lot of angles to it. And then you can make certain you're making more informed decisions. You're making smarter decisions. You're making more objective decisions.
What does the process look like?
So it's usually the same few steps that we conduct, but the details of the step might be different depending on, you know, what the goals are. But initially somebody will reach out. They have certain questions. Sometimes they're in the middle of something and they feel like it's not going, we're not getting a certain amount of traction or engagement, or our donor base is not growing enough. We feel that we're losing to competitors. Sometimes people will reach out and they'll say, we just have this great idea, but we're not sure if it's really such a great idea. Like who said, you know? So they reach out with questions and we try to really first conduct a little bit of research on those questions to really understand, you know, get some background, interview some people, conduct some competitive analysis so we have a good understanding of what's going on. Then we'll create a scope of work and we'll say, okay, this is how we believe we can collect the information that you need, you know? And it can look, we've done many different methodologies, many different ways of collecting information. It isn't like one way, okay, everything's going to be a survey or everything will be an interview or everything will be mystery shopping. Like there's many different ways that we can do it. So then we provide a scope of work and then we actually have to structure the study. So there's many different pieces that go into setting up a study, whether it's moderator guides or creating the questions or creating quotas. How many people do we need to participate in this study for the information to be accurate? You know, so there's a lot of development that goes into a study to make sure that we really have all of the components are set up in an organized way so that when we're out there collecting the data, it's going to be accurate and representative of what the client wants. So there's that setup process. Then we do the data collection. Every time it's different depending on what the methodology is, but we have to actually collect those responses, those interviews, those focus groups, those customer experiences, whatever it is. Then we move to the data analyzation process, which is the most difficult one, I think. There's so much to look at. You really have to be weeding through the information, looking for patterns, looking for comparisons. You know, can we see differences in age groups? Can we see differences in gender? Can we see, you know, certain patterns or trends? And it's more than just identifying the patterns and trends. It's which one is really important for the client. You don't want to overwhelm them with so much information they don't even know what to do now, you know, that you spin into a whole identity crisis. Like you want to provide information that is actionable and digestible. Like they know what to do with it and they know how to take it further. So there's this concept of research, nice to know versus need to know. You know, there's a lot of things that's nice to know, but not everything is need to know. Not everything is important for you to really take next steps. So we do all of that, you know, cleaning it and organizing it. We sometimes build it into beautiful dashboards where the client can filter and say, okay, now I want to look at people in Lakewood versus people in Passaic, or now I want to, you know, look at people in different income brackets. Like you can compare and contrast. So that's the whole data collection, data analyzation process. And then we present it to our clients and we help, you know, walk them through what we've done, how we did it, what we found, the suggestions or next steps that seemed the most practical and doable. And then, you know, sometimes they'll have some follow-up questions or some things that they want us to look in a little bit more. But usually you really get this feeling of like, wow, you know, it's that feeling of when you take off and you're, you know, thousands of miles above the helicopter view, and you have an understanding of all these, like, you see how the roads work. You just understand where the houses stop and where the roads begin. Like, there's a certain, that clarity moment that really helps you look at the broader picture, make good decisions. And yeah, that's what we're very blessed to do every day.
Wow. So can you give me a couple of examples of, let's say, when you're working with a nonprofit, what would be the kinds of things that you might discover in the research process that would be helpful to them? And how would they use that information?
Great question. So with nonprofits, there's the two sides. There's the service that you provide, you know, what you're offering, how you're changing the world. And then there's the other side of how are you fundraising the money to cover that service that you're doing. So usually the not-for-profits are more concerned with the donor base, you know, because there's need always, almost all the time there's need, you know, people just constantly, I mean, our community is growing. It's especially today's days, it's, you know, times are difficult and unstable. There's always need. There's always need for assistance. The question is if people are buying into that from a perspective that they will actually take out money from their pocket to fund that need. So that's where a lot of nonprofits will reach out, and they want to, they feel like maybe their donor base is not engaged enough. Their donor base is not growing at the same ratio that the recipient base is growing. You know, they'll be like, this pays off, we're going to be giving so much more money, or this, you know, this year we've processed so many more applications, but we're not seeing the other side of the donor base growing at the same rate. So that's very often like that gap that they're feeling. I mean, I think research can help on both sides. I think sometimes there's some research to be done into like the recipient side of things. Are we actually filling the need? Are we delivering it in the best way possible? You know, are we making sure that our people are really taken care of, or is it just like a band-aid? You know, there's a lot of work to be done, but typically the part where the not-for-profit feels it most is in the funding. When they're not getting enough from the donor base, they're not growing fast enough. They see that donors are giving to other organizations that do similar work to them, you know? So that's sometimes the work that we'll do, is in understanding how the donor views the organization. Like, they may have a very distorted view of what's actually going on. They might not really understand what you're doing, and that's why it's reflecting in their, you know, in the amounts that they're donating. They're, you know, they don't have buy-in for whatever reason, whether it was some branding mistakes, or it was, you know, the organization changed over time, the landscape changed, whatever it is, there's some miscommunication. So we want to understand what now, what does the donor see now? What do they understand about you? And what is the potential with them? Like, if we can understand a little bit about like, what organizations do they give to? Why do they give? Which platforms are they giving? How are they being approached? Then we can then apply that knowledge to the client and say, okay, look, these people are interested in this kind of engagement, or they want to feel part of X. They appreciate messages like whatever. They want to see you doing certain things, or you showing up at certain, you know, with certain places. And we can even look at it in a very granular level of like, maybe people in different age groups are relating to you differently based on, you know, there's like the generational gap. Like, maybe their parents view you as one, and then the younger children, the ones that are just getting married and starting their businesses now, view you as another. And what could we do for these age groups versus these age groups? So typically that's where the nonprofits feel the squeeze, you know, they want the help with a donor base.
Is there any situation in which a nonprofit would call you and you would say, I don't recommend that you do research right now?
That's an interesting question.
Well, I guess you can flip the question and say, well, what would be the best time to do research? Or what would be the best factors involved in making it a good time to do research?
Right. Look, I think research can always help, but I think sometimes there are steps before that, you know, where like it's not the right time to spend money on it. And I would say it's if you have operational problems, like if you're not operationally set up, you have your admission process is broken, or you don't have like the basics and collecting donations and providing receipts, you know, like if your basics are missing operationally, don't go out there and ask questions now, you know, fix it first. Let's take care of the basics and then we'll go beyond it, because you're going to hear all of these complaints, you know, through the survey. Oh, I don't know, I never got a receipt from them, or I heard from my friends, they tried to submit an application and they never got a response. You know, if you're going to hear these kinds of things, you're not really going to get to the more important roots, because these are typically like the excuses that people will use when they want to just shrug you off, right? They don't want to give you the real answer. So they'll just use the easy ones. Too expensive, too busy, too inconvenient, too far. You know what I mean? You don't want these answers. That we all know. You want the real answers that takes time for them to formulate. So when you're not set up well operationally, you're just opening the door for all these excuses. We don't want excuses. We want reasons.
That makes sense. So
I would probably also add, if like the organization is using it as a band-aid to a larger problem, like they think they can research their way out of something that's like a glaring issue, which is something I've encountered. Instead of fixing the root of the problem, they're like, let's do this and hopefully something else will come up. There's either a PR issue or structural issue, something similar to what you were saying before. The research is not going to help.
No, 100%. 100%. If you're not, if there's like massive issues operationally or strategically or politically, you know, things like that, and you know them, fix them first. And then we'll, you know, take a deep dive.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. So you mentioned like some organizations just don't have the budget. Is there some advice that you can give, let's say, to small or startup organization that wants to kind of use this model, but they can't afford to hire someone at scale? Is this something that an organization can embed into their own operations to get the same, maybe not the same level, but the same idea of getting insights?
I really look at research as a mindset. It's a way of living. It's not a one-time project that you say, okay, we're all gearing up for this research project, we can hire this company and boom, you know, everything will change. It's not like that. Of course, many times we do a lot of one-time projects, but it's really a way of looking at things. If you're committed to research, you can do it in many different ways. It's not just that project that you find the funding for and it's like once in 5 years you do it. It's an ongoing way of living, a way of doing business. So for example, a simple thing, you can even train your employees or, you know, whoever is answering the phone, ask these two questions at the end of every phone call. Let's say, how did you hear about us? And how was your experience today? Or whatever it is, you know, let's say you're running an advertising campaign. Where did you see us? You know, can you tell us which publication you found us, or whatever it is that you want to know? It's a way of living. You can just incorporate it into your existing operation. Add these two questions at the end of every phone call, or add the link for a feedback form at the bottom of an email, so that if people do have something to say, there is a platform for them to express it. You know, at the bottom of the email signature can say something like, let us know how we did, or, you know, got some feedback, share it with us, whatever it is. And either they can just type in, or maybe it's even a Google form if you're a little fancier. But there's so many ways, and you're doing these operations, you're doing all of these things anyway. You can just plug in a few places where you're conducting that research. It's not at grand scale. It's not costly. It's actually completely free. And you're collecting. If you have existing data, you know, of all kinds of donations, let's say, you can work with that, you know, even if you just know a little bit of Excel, you can play around with that. Let me see. You're not going to have the whole story. You're not going to have everything. We know that. But even like, let's take a look. What was the average donation? Where are these donations coming from? Which zip codes? Are they using credit cards or checks? You know, like basic stuff that you can start looking at to just give you more of an understanding of what's going on. So, and we actually do that. We have a product called Brand Tracking, where we plug into the existing company's operations, different tools where we can collect data, and then we aggregate it onto a dashboard that constantly updates because the data is constantly being collected. from feedback forms, from after call surveys, from customer satisfaction surveys, all of these kinds of things are pulling in data, and then you can see, you know, how the different departments are doing, you know, where certain issues are coming from, which locations, things like that. But even if you don't do it to such a scale, you can still do it at a small scale and start with little ways. Where can I add a question? At what point can I stop my donor or recipient and ask them something? And you'll be surprised how forthcoming people are, especially if they're really upset or really happy with you. They will tell you, you know, and at least you're creating a vessel where they can speak to you instead of them, you know, going to like just gossiping about it. You know,
I really like the idea of framing it as a mindset versus like something that you do every once in a while. And I think that a lot of business, particularly I would say B2B companies, are good at that. And like you'll see like, oh, rate us or how is our service? Mm-hmm. But nonprofits, you don't see that very often. And it actually makes so much sense of collecting the data as you go, as opposed to just like hard stop, let's do this and then bury that and do it again in 6 months. Sure. I really like that idea.
Yeah.
So I have a question that came up as you're talking. You know, it sounds like it could be a fairly large undertaking for a nonprofit to do something like this. Are there any challenges you would kind of want to give them a heads up of, like something that may come up during the process that they should be prepared for?
It's a good question. I think with research, you always have to be prepared to hear things you might not want to hear. You know, it's like, you don't know what you're going to hear. It could be, we might strike on a gold mine and there's something really interesting and really amazing that we're uncovering an opportunity. I've seen it so many times. Like I'll do an initial call and I'll ask, you know, the client, like, who's your competitor? And we'll say, they'll list these three companies or whatever. And we see through the research that they're completely blindsided. There's somebody operating right under their noses, taking away a huge percent of their donors, their business, you know? And it's like, you have to be willing to see it and to acknowledge it and then act on it. And some people don't want to do that. And, you know, they look at the research as like, I'm going to have good numbers for like a sales piece. You know, then I can go out there and I can tell people, oh, this is how much we're needed. Or they're not looking at it from a perspective of, it's a good hard look at myself, you know?
They're and looking what for numbers mean? To justify what they already think to be true.
But exactly.
It's not necessarily yeah. what they're going to get.
Right. You said it very well. Yeah. And I get those a lot, actually. And there is a purpose for that. But the people who really get the most out of research are the people who are willing to hear and listen. Because if you are willing to hear and listen, there's amazing things we can find. There really is incredible opportunities and needs, unidentified, like untapped markets. There's so much you can find, but you got to be ready. And it's sometimes very hard to do. Like if you're very stuck in your operation, you're stuck in your way of thinking, it's hard to like say, okay, you know, I'm going to open up to that. And sometimes we find nothing bad, you know, but just an opportunity. And you got to be, okay, ready. You know, let's go after it. Let's maneuver into it.
I always say there's like a fair amount of therapy involved in doing this kind of work, especially with nonprofits. Like you have to be able to like let them cry on your shoulder a little bit and pick up the pieces and change. Therapy is about change. So yeah, change is very, very hard for these organizations. I can imagine that probably comes up a lot.
Yeah. My goal is never to change things. You know, I'm not the founder. I'm not the business owner. It's really not my business. What I do look to do is to find the gold nuggets, whether it's within what you shine, and let's highlight that. Let's pull more out of that. Let's connect with our donors more on that, because this is really something that people connect to and are liking and responding to, and to also find new opportunities. And of course, yes, if there's feedback of things that need to be changed, we'll do that. But I never want to be the one to do like that, you know, open heart surgery where you find yourself of like, I don't know, you know, you questioning yourself, you're doubting what you started. It's not the point, you know, I don't want to dismantle anyone's. Everyone's work is important. And you got here for certain reasons, you know, it led you here. We want to find what to highlight on. We want to find what to build on. I'm not a negative person. I don't like to say, okay, you got to change, you just got to change. Of course, if I'm hearing something, you know, repetitively, we're going to look into it. but it's really about uncovering the nuggets, looking for the secrets that you can really build on, really shine, really make a difference, and maybe not focus so much on the other things that you're not succeeding in, because for whatever reason, it's just not, it's not connected.
Yeah, I like that. It's a very attraction. Empowering, positive approach. I think that's a really great way to look at it. So when you, you know, finish up a project and you give a client this whole report, how are you walking them through how to use it and make sure that investment doesn't go like sit on someone's desk as a report? How do you explain to them how to put, like, bring it to life?
Wow. So that's my biggest pet peeve. Like, the worst feeling for me is to have a gorgeous Power BI or presentation that literally sits in somebody's inbox and never gets used. Like, it's honestly devastating to me, you know, when you've collected all that information, you have all these concepts. So there's a few ways how I try to diminish that as much as possible. One is every presentation, every project finishes off with actionables. Like, these are things that we suggest that you do, like next steps. Because usually with researchers, tons of directions you can go afterwards. We try to, you know, provide what we see as the best next steps. And, you know, sometimes like, okay, these are some things you can focus on, let's say 3 quarters from now, but not for right now. Like, what are really the next steps for you? That's the first thing we try to do. The second thing I try to do is see if there's anybody that needs to be involved and that I can reach them and help, you know, like give over what we've seen so that they can take the next steps. Because very often higher up executives are hiring us, but then there are either marketing agencies or other managers and directors that are really in charge to take this further. And then, you know, they're missing that information. They're not as involved in the project to really understand it and like feel it in their bones. So I'll always offer, like, do you want me to brief the agency or the marketing director or whatever, other people in different teams? And I'll take the time to either do another presentation to, you know, connect with them, record it, send it to them, you know, walk them through it and make sure that everyone who needs to have a piece in it understands it and has buy into it so that they can actually do something about it, that we're not missing these, you know, there isn't that gap of like the executive that's sitting up there wants it, but then the people are actually going about the day-to-day operations are missing out and, you know, they're just not seeing it. So those are the two things that I try to do. And I can't help myself. I'll sometimes like follow up, you know, like, how's it going? What, you know, have you tried this or that or whatever, you know, what we discussed? Do you want, you know, I'll check in, because it really is something that I really want that for my clients. I really want them to implement it, to use it, to see change. But oftentimes the biggest change is very, it's like slow and steady. You know, when you open someone's mind, it's not an immediate, you don't oftentimes see immediate, but you see there's a new perspective of the way they're approaching. And there might be very small little changes that are, you know, they've become a little more customer centric. They've become a little bit more in tuned to certain needs of certain, even their people internally, you know, they get a little bit more sensitive to certain things.
Yeah. So, and small changes could really make a huge impact. I like to give the metaphor of like an airplane pilot. If he changes the navigation like 1 degree to the right, it can land up in an entirely new destination. So these small changes can actually have a huge impact.
Yeah, we have a lot of airplane themes going.
It's true, by the way. I use it a lot. So before we wrap up, this is really, really great. I think you shared a lot of really helpful information. What would you want to leave if there's a nonprofit listening to this who's never attempted any kind of research, but is listening to you speak and is thinking like, wow, this sounds like it would be really helpful. What would you advise them as to be their next step or the first questions that they should ask internally to see if this is a good idea for them?
So I think what I would say is do it as a group, meaning you don't, like, very oftentimes we walk around with these questions in our heads, but we're so limited because it's just me, myself, and I, and my shadow, and my own thoughts, and my own perceptions of things. I think the first thing to do is to involve other people, to make it an open conversation so that you can say, you know what, I've been thinking about these things. I'm thinking I have some questions. I'm wondering what are other questions that other people in the organization might have. Like, research is very important as a group. because you're again, if it's just you, you're limiting yourself again and again. And in our company, we also always, you know, include as many people as possible, because again, when I'm looking at data, it's my view. Again, I want to make sure it's not just my way of looking at it and my perception of things reflecting on what we've collected, but there are a lot of eyes, you know, looking at the same thing. So that's very important when it comes to research, I think would be like anyone who's listening to this to start the conversation of research as a group. Like, this is what we're thinking. What are some questions we might have? What would be the benefits of it? And then I would say, try to see where you can collect a little bit of information, you know, on your own. Maybe you can get on the phone with some donors and have conversations. Maybe you can finish every phone call with a follow-up question. You know, it's just start a little bit of it. And that will also help you understand what are the questions I really need to know, you know, because like I said before, there's nice to know and need to know. And it's not the same. You want to see, there might be some things that you feel like have to know, but really it's not, you know, touching the root of the problem. But as you start having some conversations, you're speaking to people on the team, they're speaking to some of their own people, like to some donors, some recipients, some board members even. And that's when you can start seeing, okay, what are the real issues we want to address? What are the real questions we want to address? And then you can make a decision. Okay, do we want to do it in-house? Do we want to hire somebody to do it? What is the extent of it? Maybe we have somebody on the team that's great with people, like conduct some interviews, you know, within the company. So that's kind of what I would say. I think to start the conversation, started as like a brainstorming session. Like, let's everybody in the room come together. What are some questions that we have? Even if all you come out with is questions, like, it's uncomfortable because we all want answers. But if you just sit with the questions a little bit, you're going to know what you need to do next.
I love that. That's perfect. So if anybody's listening and wants to get in touch with you and learn more about what you do, what would be the best way for them to reach you?
They can email me, Dina, D-I-N-A, at mispar.co. And I'd be happy to take the conversation further.
Dina, thank you so much. This was really, really great. Thank you for joining me.
Of course. Thank you. This was awesome.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Change the World podcast. If you have any feedback or an idea for my next episode, or if you're a nonprofit leader interested in learning more about how 14 Minds can help your nonprofit, I'd love to hear from you. Just send an email to tsivya@14minds.com. For more nonprofit content, follow me on LinkedIn or visit 14minds.com.